This is the third part of a three-part series that I'm doing on homosexuality, because it seems to be flying in our face. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. Everywhere you turn to in the media, as of late, there are homosexual articles, reports, stories glorifying this behavior. It's on the television, the internet, the radio, and the newspapers, what seems like a nonstop barrage of pro-homosexual behavior. I thought it was just my imagination. A sister in Christ tonight down in the resource room said, "Did you hear what show they're having on CBS?" And I said, "No." And she brought to light to me they're going to have another one of these shows, one of these role-playing, what do they call those, real-life series? Yeah, reality. I don't know why they call it that. The reality is, this show, they're going to have like a bunch of wife swapping and homosexual swapping, where you can swap your significant other, and it's basically an orgy. It's what it is. And it's on prime time, of course. And like I wasn't already upset enough. Thanks, sister. I thought it was just my imagination, though. Maybe I'm a homophobe or whatever they call it. Like that. So I went ahead and did a little study. I thought I'd go do a little survey of my own. I went and scanned the news articles over Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday just to see what I would find. Maybe I'm zoning in on it because I'm writing a series on it. No, I am not wrong on this. Let me read you just not even 25% of the pro-homosexual article titles that I came across that were in the news Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Remember, this is not even 25%, because I'm not going to spend a whole lesson talking about it. Friday, here was an article, Fox News: Bishop Gene Robinson to marry gay partner. Oh, here's one from Reuters: Obama promises to get rid of anti-gay legislation in America. Oh, by the way, AP said, Mace's school's gay prom king teaching tolerance. Here's another one. Boy, I couldn't wait to read this article. Evening Post said, Rosie will wait to remarry girlfriend. Wow, what a story. Well, here's one. Gay pride continues in Birmingham despite mayor's objections. That's an AP story. Gay community upset at omission from gay blood donation changes. AP story, the homosexuals are very angry because they want their blood to be treated equally in the blood bank. This is a great one. Jay Leno thanked by gay community for supporting gay marriages. CNS had that. Now, that was Friday. Thursday, here's a few of them. California Supreme Court refuses to delay gay marriage, AP. Joy, resentment, questions follow New York gay's right decree. Governor rejects criticism. That's Reuters. Oh, George Takei, or whatever his name, Sulu from Star Trek. Remember him? Okay, here's the article. Sulu of Star Trek fame to wed gay lover. AP reported that. Oh, and then gay soldier's fate grips Brazil. BBC told me about that one. Oh, here, Ireland braces itself for the 2008 Gay Rugby World Cup. CNW had that. Oh, and then Wednesday, June 4th, British official punished for refusing to perform homosexual weddings. CNA had that. Interesting article. They went ahead and this lady, against her morals, she said, no, this government official, I'm not going to marry homosexuals. Okay, well, they docked her pay, and they punished her and said, you know, now you're going to get half pay. Oh, here, California seeks business boom from gay weddings. Reuters. They said that with all these gay weddings, they're going to have so many extra weddings, it's going to be a great economic boom for California. Oh, and here's one. Greece sees first gay marriage. BBC News, that was Wednesday. Oh, and here's a great story. Lesbian kisses at game ignite Seattle debate. CNN. There were a couple lesbians making out at the softball game or baseball game, and somebody's kid says, Mama, what is that? And they got kicked out. So that was a big article. And by the way, like I said, These are only 25% or less of the gay stories I came across in the media for those 3 days. I think you get the point. There's an obvious perverted movement to push God and the Bible out of the public square and at the same time replace it with a homosexual agenda. If it's gay, it's pushed out and glorified by the media in our culture and crammed in the faces of those who love Christ. It's a glorification of this homosexuality that we're being sold a bill of goods that's deceiving the culture. They have been able to exalt the homosexual lifestyle to such a degree that the Western civilization is equating it to a biblical Christian marriage when two guys or two women want to marry. The media, the God haters are not being honest about the situation. The devil has used some of these ignorant, sinful activists to be brokers of self-deception and lies in order to lead the society astray. And you know what? Once again, there's no new thing under the sun, Solomon said. Deception has always been the means to lead a nation astray. Always. It is what the devil used in the Garden of Eden. He gave Eve part of a truthful information, didn't leave the rest of it out. Said, if you eat this fruit, you're going to become like gods, knowing good and evil. Well, he didn't give the bad side of that. And she partook, and of course you know what happened at the end of that sales pitch. We were warned by by the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John warns us about being deceived. We're also told by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his plans or his schemes. We're also warned by Peter to be sober spirit, be on alert for your adversary. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We are warned numerous times about being deceived, about being misled with information and buying it hook, line, and sinker. Every single one of the books warns us in one way or another. Do not be wise after your own eye. Don't follow your eyes. Numbers chapter 15, 34, and 35. Don't just follow your eyes and follow your heart. Don't do that. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Don't be deceived. And it's always with misleading information that man has sought to pervert the culture. The devil wants to see people trapped in sins and embracing the days of prevailing wickedness, Genesis 6:5, as in the days before the flood. The devil was thrilled to have the people self-deceived in the generations following the flood in the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. The devil rejoiced in glorified ignorant sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18:20, that flew in the face of God. In the name of toleration and fairness, they've been tricking people into speaking what sinners want to hear instead of what they need to hear. The minds of the lost are firmly entrenched in the wrong thinking, and our quest is in the battle to win their hearts and minds to the Lord. As we covered this morning, we'll cover again 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine through the pulling down of strongholds or the demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. This isn't a war that we're fighting with the physical realm. It is a spiritual realm war. And we're going to have to take control. We're going to have to take these arguments that are flying up before us, things that absolutely make no common sense, take them and debate them and crush them and then win them back to Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. But the difficulty in winning over their minds of the culture, a culture that's mesmerized with a pro-homosexual agenda, is this. They do not accept the Bible. Have you noticed that? If you go into the school and say, hey, I don't want you teaching my kid sodomy, okay? And they'd say, oh, why not? And you'd give them a Bible verse. They don't want anything to do that. Separation church and state. They twist that too. Well, they don't even want to hear it. They shut their minds up to everything you might want to share to them. Well, Romans 1:25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen? See, when I say amen, Paul said amen. You could amen it, can't you? Amen. And so what happens, we can, however, present an argument from the consequences first and then go to the Bible after their minds are open. We teach them through the consequences of the Bible. What I'm about to show you is exactly what I'm going to do. They don't want to hear the Bible? That's fine. Let the consequences speak for themselves. We are told over and over again that as Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's called the law of the reaper. What you plant is what you're going to reap. You sow it, you reap it. You reap more than you sow. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You can't avoid it. If you want to run into walls, law of the reaper says you're going to have a broken nose. If you want to drink and drive, law of the reaper says you could end up dead and in a ditch. The law of the reaper cannot be taken away. There's a natural consequence to every violation to God. God has built-in consequences. So, with this in mind, that's how we need to face this homosexual agenda. And I'm excited about this. I can't wait to do it. Oh boy, I got some thoughts. Boy, I wish I could go protest something right now. But I'll do it right here instead. Fourfold strategy to beat back this homosexual lies that we have. If they're going to filter the air and glorify homosexuality while angels have upset stomachs, this stuff is flying in our face. The point number three we had of the five-point Josiah movement is that we have to head this logic off. We have to challenge foolishness. Here you go. First thing you want to do, let the consequences talk. We don't start with the Bible. We do in our minds, but not with our argument. We want them to fight the consequences first. Here's how you do it. First one, number one, tell them the truth about the physical consequences. Tell them the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You want to know what happens when mankind takes the path of homosexuality? Very little is said about the extreme health risk associated with it. You know that? They just don't talk about it. The National Cancer Institute says that cigarettes lop anywhere from 7 to 10 years off the average smoker's life. According to the Journal of American Medical Association, obesity cuts 7 to 13 years off our life. Heroin addicts lose 15 to 20 years off their life. This is why the schools, our public schools, they say, don't smoke. Smoking's bad. Don't take drugs. Drugs are bad. Eat healthy. Eat some celery. They're always talking about these three items. Just throwing it up there. This and this and this. Well, you know what's amazing? Did you know the average life expectancy, and this is a fact, of a heroin addict is more than that of a male homosexual in this country? Fact. Let me give them to you. You can get these stats anywhere. Go online. Look them up. I got the sources right here. Reports in the 1980s suggested that male homosexuals had an average life expectancy of less than 50 years. Even with all the education about safe sex, they can write volumes about safe sex, yet their life expectancy is proven to be under 50 years of age. Even with all this education, they're still getting AIDS, still getting all these diseases. The life expectancy of homosexuals have actually decreased the more they know. In fact, a Canadian study in 1997 found that male homosexuals have a life expectancy of 20 years less than the general male population. Using several different measures, including life expectancy, determined from obituaries, they had two random sexuality surveys, USA and Britain. They also went ahead and extended it to Denmark, Sweden, Norway. They want to get some good information. It indicated that the average age of death is less than 50 years of age. Same data. They're finding this every culture you go to. The third study that I want to mention, published in 2002, found the median age of the death of 88 homosexuals partnered with men was 45 years of age. Death rate. That's the average. While 118 unpartnered homosexual men was 46 years of age. That's amazing. The latter study put the average of life expectancy of homosexuals to be 30 years less than the average life expectancy of a non-homosexual, than the general male population of that culture. Another study showed that on average, ever married men outlived ever homosexuality partnered men by 23 years in Denmark, 25 years in Norway. Same thing you apply to the women, 22 years in Denmark, 25 years in Norway. These are very pro-homosexual. The same thing cuts across all these cultures. Take off 25, 30 years off of your life. If you want to be homosexual, you have that right. But you need to know you're going to die 2 or 3 decades early on average. And the reasons for this is the vastly reduced life expectancy is for the large number of life-threatening and debilitating diseases prevalent in the homosexual community and the high rates of transmission of dangerous sexual practices common among gays. Practices that cannot even be mentioned from this pulpit. It would make you sick. You can go online, learn about them. Things that you cannot even imagine is common practice among the homosexual community. I was studying up at Karen's today. Don and Benjamin Moore and myself, we went up there, had a Bible study. We did this lesson. Karen's cleaning woman was in there. She's a 19-year-old lady. She sat down with the study with us, covered this information. She knows many bisexual and homosexual men. She's in sort of a group like that. She says, I don't stand for it, but I don't really know. I don't say anything about it. And so we were talking about this lesson we're covering right here. She knows. She's 19 years of age and personally knows 4 young men from her circle who are dying of AIDS, ages 22 through 27. And there's probably many more in her circle beside that. It's a tragedy. Research indicates that homosexuals in America average 38 partners a year with the rate of 90% of anonymous participation or little information of these partners. They meet in bathrooms. They meet at truck stops. They know nothing about it other than the fact that they can engage. 38 per homosexual per year average. And 20% of homosexuals engage in relations with over 500 individuals a year. So let me tell you, monogamy is not a word that is in the homosexual agenda. 1999 study published by the American Journal of Public Health indicated that homosexuals are 5 times likely to have hepatitis than their heterosexual counterparts. A 1999 study in sexually transmitted diseases indicates that 25% of homosexuals have gonorrhea of both the in multiple locations on their body. A book, The Ins and Outs of Gay Sex, the medical handbook for the men, state that 50% of homosexual males have the human papillomavirus. Homosexuals are acquiring syphilis at record pace. CDC released a report in 2001 showed that among heterosexuals, the syphilis rate was dropping. But among the homosexuals, and they did a sample, Southern California, it rose at the same time it dropped for heterosexuals. It rose in homosexuals 26 to 51% infection rate. The report also noted that Southern California alone, 60% of the syphilis-infected homosexuals were also HIV positive. The proponents... they had a study, tuberculosis. It's huge in the homosexual population. There's a strand of tuberculosis they're dealing with in California, completely resistant to any treatment. And this one, they fear, may bond with the AIDS virus somehow. And that's scary. And they tracked in 1998, in June through August, in Baltimore Health Department. They did a study, tracked the spread of TB from 4 transgendered homosexual prostitutes. By the end of the study, they found out they infected 22 others with TB through their sexual activities, and this spread went from Baltimore to New York. You can read about this. I got all your sources for you here. The proponents of homosexuality, when they say, oh, it's a lovely thing, it's a wonderful thing, you need to include the whole information. It is not healthy. It's a public health risk. And let me tell you, when a heroin addict has a greater life expectancy than a male homosexual, they need to be saying this stuff in the schools. You need to be going to your teachers every time you hear of some same-sex education. You need to be lobbying your kids to raise their hand and say, wait a second now. Now, why are homosexuals dying with 20 to 30 years off of their life if it's such a great thing? There are physical consequences, and we need to be opening our mouths about it. But there's more than that. They need to tell the truth about the psychiatric consequences. Even though it's referred to as gay, which originally meant happy, homosexual lifestyle brings with it the consequence of depression. There was a study. These are atheists. They go ahead and have these studies. They're psychiatrists. Had a big survey here. They compared homosexual to heterosexual. Major depression, 39.3%, three times more likely to have major depression than a heterosexual. Anxiety disorders, more than double. One or more diagnosis, it's 14% more. Two or more diagnoses, more than double, about 2.5 times that you will have at least 2 bouts or more of depression. In pro-gay-friendly New Zealand, there was a thorough study titled, Is Sexual Orientation Related to Mental Health Problems and Suicide in Young People? The findings clearly support, here's what it supports, gay and lesbian and bisexual young people are at an increased risk of mental health problems, with these associations being particularly evident for the measures of suicidal behavior and multiple disorder. Another study. Sexual orientation and suicide, the co-twin control study in adult men. Here's what they found out. They reported the following results concerning the suicidal tendencies among the gay population. Homosexuals thought about death 2.5 times more than heterosexuals. They wanted to die 4.4 times more, thought about the details of their suicide 4.1 times more, and they attempted suicide 6.5 times more than heterosexuals. And though the homosexual community, the first thing they'll say is, well, it's because of the pressure you homophobes and you Christians put on everybody. Well, guess what? That's not what the data says. The number one reason they find for the suicide rate in homosexuals is this. 2/3 of all homosexual suicides were triggered by a breakup of a relationship. You know how hard it is to break up a relationship? Try having 38 partners a year on average. Don't tell me you're not going to be depressed. Also, number two reason was the inability to accept their own homosexuality. Even when they, you know, because deep down inside they know this isn't right. Number three was the often accompanying drug and alcohol abuse, which is prevalent in the homosexual community. They have to tell about the truth of the psychological consequences of homosexuality. They're going to promote it. You hold them accountable. You say, no, wait a second now. Why are they always killing themselves? Why is this happening? Why are they dying at such a young age? Make them be honest about that. Don't let them get away from the consequences. Well, you can't preach the Bible to me. I didn't quote you one verse concerning that part, did I? See, now they got to deal with the facts. I'll get to the verses last. Jesus always gets the last word. What about... we need to tell the truth about the societal consequences. With the embracing of homosexuality by our culture comes the societal consequences that we must prepare for. There are damages to marriage. You know, the homosexuals, one of their leading arguments they have for homosexuality and the marriage they want is this. Listen, you guys want us to settle down? Give us marriage. We'll get into that monogamous relationship that you value. That'll fix the prevailing wickedness that we're in. And even though the homosexual male has 38 annual sex partners, proponents of the same-sex marriage say we're going to go from 38 to 1, period. Well, statistics speak otherwise because monogamy is not a common word in the vernacular of a homosexual. A recent study from the Netherlands, where they're very much pro-homosexual, suggests this. Researchers found that even though among stable homosexual partnerships, these men who were in these, quote, marriages. They considered themselves monogamous, even though they averaged 8 different man relationships outside of that quote, marriage. Because I went from 38 to 8. I'm monogamous now. No. Mono one. But see, they have a different definition of this. Further, if we scramble the definition of marriage, it will soon be led to embrace relationships that involve more than 2 people. You see, prominent advocates hope to use gay marriage to wedge and abolish governmental support of traditional marriage altogether. Get ready for that one. Here's a law professor, Martha Ertman from University of Utah, for example. She wants to render the distinction between traditional marriage and group marriages. They call it polyamory. That's like polygamy, only you can marry groups. You get a couple people and they say, hey, we want to invite you in and you in and you in, and we'll get all 20 of us and we'll be married. We'll be one. She actually argues that the gay partnerships will establish this positive trait. Another person, University of Michigan law professor David Chambers, wrote in a widely cited 1996 Michigan Law Review, he writes this, that gay marriage will lead the government to be, quote, more receptive to marital units of 3 or more. This is what he's hoping for. If marriage is not defined as one man and one woman for life, then it can mean anything. See, that's what they're trying to do. Let's break down the marriage. And so then there's the damage to the children. We already saw what the children of the 70s have done. The courtship of Eddie's father and the rebellion that we've experienced from that. You've seen nothing yet until you've seen what will happen to the next generation of children who are not influenced by Jesus Christ. Once the damage runs rampant throughout the culture and further raises divorce rates and causes greater instability in the home, then the children will suffer like nobody can ever imagine. Gay marriage would encourage the adoption of children by homosexual couples because, hey, we're just a couple. Bert and Ernie, we're a couple. We want to have a kid. So they adopt, and lesbian couples will be having more anonymous sperm donations, which means the children will be growing up in families without fathers. This is a proven strife in the life of a child. All the evidence points to that. God designed the child to have a mother and a father. Both teach something that you cannot get anywhere else. Research also shows that children raised by homosexuals who are dissatisfied with their own gender suffer a greater rate of molestation within the family and have homosexual experiences more often. Acceptance of gay marriage will strengthen the notion that marriage is primarily about adult yearnings for intimacy. And they'll be heard when they're the essentiality of divorcing. When they divorce, the children are going to view themselves as not an extension of the family, but simply property within the family, because the parents were together for sexual satisfaction, not for the betterment of society. All this will happen, and the damage to society will be quite clear. You're already seeing that. 1958, 4 television stations pulled an ad because it mentioned hemorrhoids in it. Now we're going to have an orgy on CBS. God bless America. The damage to society is coming. When you add up the havoc that's reaped on the next generation, the consequences are devastating. The generation of people will not have a moral compass to guide them, and everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes. Go back and read the last verse of the book of Judges, and you will see. So we got to make them be honest about the societal consequences. If they like what they're having now, they won't have it. Everyone will do what's right in their own eyes. And the evolution they want, survival of the fittest, baby, it's coming. Whoever's the strongest and the fastest and the most evil, they'll be the ones running the show. They need to tell the truth about all these consequences. The physical, the psychiatric, and the societal consequences. But if they don't want to listen to that, they might. You know what the lady said today? The 19-year-old? Don was there. She's going to go back and share this information with her homosexual friends that we covered right here. She's going to share it with them. You know, I didn't know that she had four friends who are dying. Let me ask our youth group. Do you have four friends that are dying that might be dead before age 30? Do you have four friends? I don't have one. I don't have one. And it's not just a matter of trying to convert those who are trapped in this homosexuality. While they're out there spreading their poison, you need to be giving them something that will tell them, don't believe in this. It's a lie. Go to the graves of so many individuals who've died, who wish they could have it over again, but they can't. But then there's the final consequence. If they're willing to listen to the other consequences and say, yes, I know. I know something's wrong with this. I don't want to be in it. Tell them the truth about the spiritual consequences. In Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if there is a man who lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed detestable acts. Romans 1:26-27, for this reason God gave them over to their own degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their lust toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 and 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Jude 1 verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner were given over to gross immorality and went after strange flesh are given as an example, undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. I could have given you many other verses, but I think you get the point. Homosexuality is no worse in the spiritual realm than any of the other sins, except this, that we have a country that's actively promoting this. All are condemned in the Bible and should be shamed. And nevertheless, it violates his very creation. Our society is trying to force through same-sex marriage, making legal and giving approval for this vile behavior. We need to hesitate and say, listen, you wouldn't let kidnapping and murder, you wouldn't let pedophiles do this. And I'm going to say something about this. But you don't start out with the Bible. They're not going to hear that. But you do start out with the consequences. What has the law of the reaper taught you? How many friends have you died? How many of your friends have committed suicide? I met a woman who worked at a McDonald's. She had a big shiner on her face. She was 18 years of age. And I was waiting for my French fries and double cheeseburger with diced onions. I couldn't resist asking her about her novelty. I said, well, that's a nice shiner that you have there. She said, yeah, my lover gave it to me. I said, I hate it when guys beat women. She said, I'm a lesbian. I said, oops. But I asked her, I said, say, I have a question. Why is the suicide rate so high among homosexuality and they call it gay? And there we were at the counter of McDonald's talking about it. She told me she had three of her friends under the age of 19 that committed suicide this year. Three of them. They know the consequences, trust me. They know the consequences. They know that God has allowed those consequences to be sent as a wake-up call. Give them the consequences and then let them take the consequences to the Bible for the answer. Don't hit them over the head with a Bible verse. Talk about the consequences. And the odds are it could lead you to Christ. If we really care, we would share with them the spiritual consequences. And if they do not repent, you know, we've done our best. But you know what? Maybe there's somebody else who's been thinking. Maybe they heard at the school that maybe I should try out homosexuality. I heard the teacher talking positive about it. That goes on. I guarantee you. I was told this week by one of our own members. She overheard a conversation of youth in a bathroom talking about, well, how can you really know if you're homosexual if you don't go out and try it first? She overheard that. This is rampant in the young youth group. The youth in our schools, they're being exposed to it. But we need to make sure that we're putting out the truth. You want to make a deadly decision? Here's the real truth. You only saw the part that you wanted to see. Go visit a graveyard. Go to the schools and tell your kids you want the whole truth out there. You would never allow them to teach taking heroin in school. And yet there's something more deadly than that being offered. That's all I have to say about that. If you want to respond to the invitation this morning or tonight, we offer it now for you while we stand and sing.